I'll grab that. Thanks. We have started into the book of John, as I mentioned, and I'm going to start today with where John starts. In the book of John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 1, I have a lot of favorite Bible texts, and this is among them. I would just say it that way. I love the way this reads. It's so poetic and so filled with meaning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from Galilee whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through, I'm sorry, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there's nothing quite like the relationship between a father and a son. Okay, I'll admit, you can say that about the relationship between a mother and a son, or a mother and a daughter, or a father and a daughter. My firstborn was a daughter. We didn't know that until she was born. We decided not to know. And there was something special about that moment. Every relationship in its own way has a uniqueness, a special sense to it. But in the book of John, John focuses very closely on that relationship between the Father and the Son, God the Father. And God the Son, the Father in Jesus Christ. So as we're starting the book of John, and let me offer the invitation again to you. If you have not picked up one of these books, it's right out that door immediately on the left. Pick one up and begin to read the devotions and read Scripture. We just started the book of John. We're two chapters into it. You're not late. So if you want to start the book of John with us, you only have two chapters to catch up, chapter 1 and 2, and tomorrow you begin reading chapter 3 and read the devotion and do the little bit of work that it takes to really kind of understand that. You'll understand it if you grab that book. Like I said, we'll read through the whole New Testament throughout the year. You don't have to go back and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke if you don't want to, but if you do, that's okay too. Now, if you've been reading along, It feels like this. If you've read Matthew, it's like, okay, I've read all the way through Matthew, and now I get to Mark. And I read the same thing over again, it seems. And then I get to Luke. And then I read the same thing over again. And surely that's not how John's going to be, right? Right. The promise is it's not how John's going to be. While it feels like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they had the same resources they were hearing the stories from, or they were the resource in the case of Matthew, who was there with Jesus, John has just a unique way of looking at things. I said in my devotion on John, one of those devotions, that John could care less what the calendar says. He's not interested in time frame. Matthew, Mark, and Luke seem to be focused on the what and the how and the when. John is more focused. Now, the others were as well, but John is more focused on the why. And in that why, the way John describes the why is in a relationship. that begins with the relationship between the Father and the Son. Now, that will frustrate some people, I know, because some of us need a formulaic way of understanding our faith. I get that. You won't get that in John. You see, if you think that you need a recipe for life, if I just take the right ingredients and put them in the right order and have the right blender in my hand, it will turn out right, right? That's not the way John works. I've never known a relationship to work that way. The things just don't always go exactly how you plan them out in a relationship. Now, the tighter the relationship, the more predictable the behavior. I get that. I understand that. That's why, you know, the twins seem to have a sense about each other. And I'm looking at two twins here. They've been around one another since birth, since before birth. And the same is the case for long marriages. People who just become so much like each other that you can't tell where one ends and the other begins. But to have that kind of predictability, there has to be a commitment to a long-term relationship. And Jesus has that with the Father. We'll talk about it more in a moment, but suffice to say, the relationship, that relationship is built on a mutuality and a longevity and love. Not a formulaic magical incantation that has a predictable outcome. The outcome is predictable because of the relationship that has been built. So I want to share with you, as I look through the book of John, three connections that Jesus has with the Father. Three very clear ones. And there's more than this, but here's three to kind of think of as you're reading through the book of John. The first is that Jesus is eternal. John presents this relationship between Father and Son that is eternal in nature. And it has an eternal significance for us. I really do love the way this book starts. And it starts with the words, "in the beginning." By the way, do you know what the Greek word is for "in the beginning"? Genesis. Like the book of Genesis that begins with "in the beginning." We'll come back to that in a little bit. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," it says in John 1. First, of course, it puts Jesus with God from the beginning, or actually before the beginning, pre-existent. Christ is pre-existent with God, meaning that everything that has come into existence, Christ was there. You know, when we speak of Jesus, we have that mystical way of understanding him. He is both human and divine. The human side has limits to reflect what humanity was created to be, to show us how a perfectly motivated person should live and act, to tell you what you should be striving for. But the divine side has always been with God, a part of God since before the creation. It's an eternal relationship the Father and the Son share. But as we become one with Christ, which is the invitation, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but as we do, we share this inheritance created for us from the beginning, this eternal inheritance. I find it in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." The eternal nature of Christ tells us that there is an eternal place for us to call home. We have that invitation. Another thing I want you to see about that relationship is Jesus is a co-creator with the Father. Again, the opening of the book of John echoes those words from the opening of the book of Genesis. Genesis begins with "in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth." And John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the Genesis, from the beginning, Jesus is there. And in case you haven't gotten it yet, the Word that it refers to in the book of John is Jesus Christ. When God spoke the words that let there be light, there's that interplay with Word, that it is Christ who is the Word that light erupts from. We even talk about light in the midst of this particular passage. The pre-existent Jesus was one with God the Father in the beginning, but more than that, Jesus has this intimate knowledge of creation because all things came into being through him. John 1:3, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The implication here is that Christ was involved in the creation of you. You came into being through him because nothing was made that he wasn't a part of. This means that you have the capacity then to reflect the glory of the one who created you. In Jesus Christ, we see how a perfect life is lived. And you were made to be like him, to be human as humans were intended to be. Perfection is defined by a perfect love of God and a perfect love of each other. And you are the only thing standing in the way of becoming what you were created to be. Let me say that again. You are the only thing standing in the way of becoming what you were created to be. Finally, as I look at the Father and the Son, I see the two are intertwined. Have you ever looked at a father and son and said, you know, I don't know where one ends and the other begins? Nancy would tell you about, so I don't see it, but people say I look like my son. I also look like my father, or my son looks like me, something like that. And Nancy would tell you that my son is just exactly like me, which is a compliment, by the way. I'm just sure of it. I'm sure that she's laughing too hard. Stop it. That's enough commentary. It's like that with some people. Just like you might remark for yourself, oh my gosh, I've become my mother. We tend to become like the one that we've spent the time with, the one that we've spent the most time with, from whom we've learned. In John 14:11, Jesus says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. What I said about Jesus' humanity and divinity, Jesus is God. The Father is God. And while we're working on it, the Holy Spirit is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the manifestations of God, which we term the Trinity. And I've shared in the past that, you know, one of my greatest pet peeves is when people say, you know, I believe in God and Jesus and all that. God is Jesus and Jesus is God. Stop it. Okay, well, if you were to say, I believe in the God of Jesus, I'll go with that. And apologize for becoming unglued for a moment. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. I was saying that God the Father and God the Son are the same. You can't tell where one ends and one begins. Now, here's the thing to know about Jesus as you begin reading the book of John. Jesus is the eternal co-creator who is intertwined with God in such a way that you can't tell where one ends and the next begins. And by the way, when you're praying, it's okay if you pray to God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit or just God. It's all the same. In John 1:14, we read those words, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The implications for that are so profound. This means that God decided to identify with humanity by becoming one with us. We call this the incarnation. John wants to make clear that you understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. And that God chose to live with us, to dwell among us. One translation says to pitch his tent with us. John is clear just as much as Jesus is God, Jesus is one with us. And therefore the invitation is clear to become one with Christ. In John 15:4, it says, it offers this invitation, remain in me as I also remain in you. In Jesus, God is saying, I'll pitch my tent with you. Will you pitch your tent with me? Hear that as an invitation. In a minute, we're going to go into the offering time. And as we enter into that offering time, it's a time for you to reflect and meditate on how you offer yourself up to God. Just as Christ is one with God, we are invited to become one with Christ. We are invited to become sons of the Father, daughters of the Father, intertwined in that way. In that special relationship that was intended in the beginning. Amen and amen.